Thanks, and you may be seated. Next week, I'll be beginning a new sermon series. The title of it is The Divine Conspiracy. we'll look a lot of the text from the Sermon on the Mount and some of the parables of Jesus. And Jesus' call for us to be a part of a kingdom that really is subversive almost to the kingdom of this world. It is a world that is that is going in a different direction that we in the kingdom of God should be going. And so we'll be looking at that and breaking that open. But really, kind of as a prelude to that, this week I want us to talk about the subject of worship, and in particular, why we do what we do. Why do we worship? I mean, why are you here? Right? Why are you here? You got up this morning and it was raining, and you could have stayed in bed and, you know, not risk the rain. You could have gone to Cracker Barrel and had a leisurely day. But yet here you are, week after week. You come to this place because it's important. Why is important, and I know I'm preaching to the choir literally here, back here, and figuratively out here, but you're here because you know it's important. But sometimes I think from time to time we need to remind ourselves why worship, particularly corporate worship, community worship, all of us together, why that is important, and I believe essential for our Christian faith and witness. And so as a foundational text, I want to look at Psalm 67. There you can open the Bible about halfway open and you'll find Psalms. And on around there you'll find Psalm 67. And hear now this reading of God's Word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine on us, so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise You, God. May all the peoples praise You. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise You, O God. May the peoples praise You. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At this time when worship attendance is trending downward, when all around their country there seems to be more of an emphasis on individuality than sort of corporate things and community things, I think it's important for us to pause today and to think about this subject of why we worship. And I want to present to you three things, three reasons I see from this great psalm of why we worship. And the first one is in order to give a word of praise to God. Worship gives us a place, an opportunity to have the ability to express our praise. And that's important, that we have a place where we have the ability to do that, to express what is in us. As we choir sung that song, I love that song. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul. There's something within us that needs to worship His holy name. What is that that does that? Now, through my lifetime, there has been the development of a word that's always been in our vocabulary, but to use it as an expression of really agreeing, affirming something. And it's simply this, right? You've heard this, you've seen this. Yes, right? Yes. Okay, that's a common expression. Yes. And when someone says yes, we know that something good has happened, that they want to get out. You know, maybe your favorite player has just scored the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. And yes, you know, maybe you're kid past fourth grade. Yes, had our doubts, but they hung in there. You know, you got good news. A daughter or a granddaughter is pregnant. Yes, You know, that's so, it's good. Yes. And so, it's not just saying the word yes, right? We have to exclaim yes. You know, you can tell it has an exclamation point behind it. Yes. In the Bible, praise is the believer's way of saying yes. Because as believers, we know that God is good and God is great, and we want to say so. But simply just saying so, that's not enough. Praise has to have this upsurge of enthusiasm, right? Yes, praise. And the reason is, enthusiasm makes you want to raise your voice. And so we sing. And so we lift our voices in praise. It's within us to want to do that. The children of Israel have been, you know, in bondage. And they get delivered out by Moses, and they go through 40 years of hard stuff and wandering and going here and there. And then finally, they cross over into Canaan land. And the first thing they do is they praise, they worship, they sing, they dance. Because it's within them, it's the celebration. And we all have the need to do that, to praise God. Now, in the Bible, the song book, the hymn book, is really the Psalms, right? There's lots of great psalms of praise there. But if you're a careful reader, you will see there's also psalms of lament. And I fear sometimes we skip over those. They sometimes make us feel uncomfortable. I don't know the reason. We don't often quote or hear from the psalms of lament, but they are there. And they are real. Here's one part of Psalm 80. It says, "How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people?" Listen to this. "You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us the object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us." You know, we see that. But reading the Bible, seeing the Psalms of lament reminds us of this. There's a part of that too. Our laments make us raise our voices well. And God has given us permission to be able to do that in worship as well. We come together because there's a place to do that. And sometimes it does not seem like our prayers have been answered, that our faithfulness has been noticed. And it's maybe during those times that we need to worship the most. And so we come as we are to worship, bringing our celebrations of life and all that God has done, but also bringing our laments. But I want you to notice something about the laments. If you study them and look at them, there is an order to the way things are. They usually begin with some sort of word of praise to God. And then there is the complaint. And then at the end, there's another word of praise. Because praise, God's blessing on us, it is the first and the last word of worship. The last word of faith is praise. Second reason for worshiping is to remember God's blessings. It says, "Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us." I think that praise and worship coming together each week, it makes us kind of square up with reality. Sometimes when we get off by ourselves, we can get sort of myopic and only be looking at ourselves and our own problems. But when we come into community worship and we look and open ourselves up honestly, we begin to realize that it's bigger than just us. And that God is in the purpose of blessing. Someone said one time that life would be more pleasant if we could forget our troubles as easy as we forget our blessings. Let me say that again. Much more enjoyable if we could forget our troubles as much and as easily as we forget our blessings. Oftentimes we just hang on to those troubles and forget. And that's what worship does. We come together and we realize how God is at work and how God is blessing. Praise gets us in touch with this thing that's bigger than us. And for me, that's part of the reason of ritual. Sometimes ritual can get a bad name. There's nothing wrong with ritual. Ritual brings us together and reminds us of what's holy and sacred and has been over the years. And every church, whether they say they have it or not, they do. Listen, I've been to Pentecostal services. I've been to charismatic services. There's a ritual there too. It may not be written down, but you know when things are coming. There's an order to it. And maybe in, particularly in our traditional worship services, we may have an order, and it may not be as high church as, say, an Episcopal church, an Anglican church, or the Catholic, but we have an order to it. And that ritual, for me, is part of that reminder coming together every week. When we say the Apostles' Creed, for example, you know, that we all together are affirming with believers across the world and for all time, going back almost to the very beginning, those things that are crucial and central to our faith. When we raise our voices together, and that's why I say that, you know, it's important for us to have those kind of rituals to remind us. This past week, this past Thursday to be specific, I attended something that we as clergy have to go to, required every 4 years. It's an insurance licensing thing, I believe, but it's a mandatory ethics training. And there is not one clergy in this conference that looks forward to that day. I don't know. I have not counted up how many times I've been through it, 4 or 5 now. And Yeah, it's a day. So this year we have them, and they're all over the conference where they are, you know, in certain days, and you sign up to go, and it's an all-day thing. And so, you know, I've been dreading it, and so the day came. It was this Thursday, and it's down at First Methodist Atlanta, which was an interesting place to hold it because it's not the easiest place to get to nowadays, and they have very limited parking. So I find myself at Indian Creek MARTA station at about 6:30 or 7 in the morning, and it's cold, and I'm going, you know, to ride the train down to go to this ethics training. And, you know, I get there okay and get there and greet my friends. They have no coffee made, or it's brewing, so, you know, that didn't sit well with me. So then we all gathered in their cramped fellowship hall, and then they came in and told us that we couldn't meet in there. There were too many of us, and the fire marshal had said we had to go upstairs. They had planned the whole workshop around people sitting around tables, you know. If you were planning, if you're a presenter, you know that. And suddenly we're sitting in pews like this, and they're really not prepared for it. There's a lot of confusion. And then finally, about 45 minutes late, they're ready to start this, you know, mandatory workshop. So the first thing they do, the leaders get up and they begin to lead us in worship. And I'm just honest confession here. I'm thinking, why are we doing this? Just get to the point. We got to get this day. We got to get this credit. We need to beat traffic. But something happened in that worship. My attitude readjusted because I realized there was something much, much higher than at stake than this mandatory training. That we were called to something much higher, that we hear this morning. We're called to something much higher, and worship helps get us focused on that. It pulls us back together. And it's important that we do it together. There's this corporate part of it, this community part of it. You see in this scripture in particular, you know, it's saying, you know, it's never singular. It's always plural. God, be gracious to us. Bless us. The peoples praise you. Always plural. Why is that important? Because I tell you today, you could have stayed home and you could have gone on the internet and you could have found a much better sermon than what you're hearing here. I promise you, this in all humility. There's some great preachers out there, and you could have chosen your favorite one, and you could have listened to their podcast and heard a great sermon and not had to leave your house or take off your pajamas. And we've had some beautiful music this morning. But I guarantee you, you could have gotten professional recordings of the world's greatest musicians singing your favorite praise song or hymn, whatever it is. And you could have listened to that in your house or in your car. But yet, it was important for us to be here together, to be reminded that we are in this together, that we are in community together, and something holy and something sacred and something, and this is my point that I'm getting to, it gets us in touch with something bigger than just me or you or any of us. When we worship together, it's something, the sum is greater than all the parts, and we get in touch with that. And then finally, the last reason I want to give you very quickly, that worship is a word of challenge to the church. And you see this picture that it's painting there in Psalm 67. May the peoples praise you. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Sometimes in our individualistic culture, in our culture of just only looking inward and looking at what our preferences are and how we like things, we need to be reminded that worship is not just our private, exclusive practice, but it is intended for all. It's intended for the whole world. And we see this beautifully on the Revelator in John's revelation as he sees this vision of the kingdom of God when it comes together and at the end of all things, the consummation of all things, and as everything comes together, he writes this, "After this I looked and behold," this is Revelation 7, "and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" That is just such a fantastic, beautiful, amazing picture, right? Every nation, this great multitude, every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue, all together praising God. You've heard me say it before. If you don't like diversity, you're not going to like heaven. That's every description we have of it is this. And worship reminds us that as we come together this morning and as we look ahead to that great day when we all will gather to worship Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I hope you have been blessed. You have been a blessing to me, and I want you to all know that I love you all very much, but I am not going to stand out and shake hands today because I have a funeral at 2 o'clock, so I'm going to go home and eat and rest for a minute. But I do love you, and we'll do it again some other time. But go and be blessed. Because you've been blessed, be a blessing to others. In Christ's name, go in peace.